Heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
Welcome to tonight's edition of Locked On Broncos, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network in partnership with FanRag Sports. Head over to LockedOnBroncos.com to check out what we got going on over there. On tonight's episode, I join Ryan Tracy and Chris Clark over at Locked On Chiefs to talk about Monday night's matchup with the Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football. It's going to be a tough one, going to be a crazy one. Divisional game, as always, between two very prominent rivals within the Chiefs and the Broncos. I kind of talk to them, I kind of give them some intel, inside information on what's going on in Denver. Obviously, a lot of questions they had regarding the Denver Broncos quarterback position, the offensive line, the run game, Jamal Charles, defense, things like that. And I kind of touch base and kind of give my thoughts on what I think of the weapons with Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, DeAnthony Thomas, Alex Smith, Kareem Hunt as well. It was a great conversation, great feedback. Enjoyed doing that with them. And we're going to do it once again when obviously Kansas City comes to Denver. We're going to jump on it again. I got to ask them a little more questions regarding the Kansas City Chiefs. They asked a lot of great questions, I felt like media asks every week to Vance Joseph as well. So we jump on with Ryan Tracy, Chris Clark over there at Locked On Chiefs. Be sure to go over there right now. Check out their profile. Check out their channel over there on the Locked On Podcast Network, over there on iTunes, Locked On Chiefs. Get some inside intel information outside of just what I do. They talk about it every day over there at Locked On Chiefs. So go ahead, give them a follow over there. Subscribe, get some inside information as well. But we jumped on to the Locked On Chiefs, Locked On Broncos crossover show here tonight on the Locked On Podcast Network. Here we go.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And we're back for Locked On Chiefs. It is your Wednesday show. We are at hump day, so that means we're going to be talking about the next matchup and kind of move on from what happened against the Raiders. We are lucky enough to have Cody Rourke with us, the host of the Locked On Broncos. How are you, Cody?
You know what? I've had better days, but, you know, Broncos country, we're trying to find a lot of positives over here in the beautiful state of Colorado as well. Obviously, with the tough matchup looming with the Kansas City Chiefs, I got to say I'm a little concerned heading into this matchup.
Well, we're not going to belabor it too bad anyway, but folks, it's not just our two shows that are on this network. Make sure you check out the rest of it. Matt Williamson on Locked On NFL, Vinny Iyer's doing the fantasy thing. Check those out for sure. We have shows across the league, and we're just getting bigger. Our new partnership with FanRag Sports is coming along. We're going to have websites up for every team out there. Our Locked On Chiefs site is up. You can get our news. You can get the podcast over there. We're going to have articles, in-depth analysis. I'm even going to do some video reviews, so watch out. If you want a little taste of that, it's going to get interesting. Today, we have this matchup looming. What has been a really tight kind of contest over the last, four seasons, at least since Reed's been in town. You know, right now, both teams are kind of reeling, and I want to know from you, Cody, like how desperate is it in Denver?
You know, right now, if you take a look at Broncos country Twitter and you listen, 104.3, you living in Denver gives you kind of an advantage to kind of hear some inside intel of what's going on. You know, the call waves are being flooded and the sky is falling in Denver, and rightfully so. I mean, even guys like Von Miller, Chris Harris Jr. will say right now the mood in the locker room is not that great because this is not the Denver Broncos. This is not, you know, the Denver Broncos team we're accustomed to seeing, you know, showing up 2 weeks in a row and not even competing, not being able to cross midfield offensively. Things are just all out of whack. And, you know, a lot of people are trying to figure out what's going on. Now, when you look at the Denver Broncos right now, you look at the quarterback situation, that's being the most talked about anywhere. You know, sports groups on Facebook, Twitter, sports radio, that's the name topic. Quarterback, Trevor Siemian, you know, is he the guy? Should they bench him? Well, Vance Joseph came out this week, said, you know what? Trevor's our quarterback. We're going to stay with Trevor. We're going to keep working with him. It's a unit issue. And, you know, I think as a head coach, that's the right thing you say as a leader. But overall on paper, you got to look at, you know, while Trevor Siemian is playing horrible, he's not playing very consistent football. You have to look at the factors too. The offensive line is very young and inexperienced. You got Max Garcia playing at left guard. Ideally, he's had a very rough year. And this last week, you had to force Alan Barber, who's usually a guard, guard, force him out to right tackle against Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, some tough guys, very tough matchups, especially when you're not used to playing at the tackle position. And he had a rough day. He gave up 3 sacks. Now, 2 weeks in a row, you come off an embarrassing effort against the New York Giants on Sunday Night Football. You follow it up with a shutout loss on the road against the Los Angeles Chargers. That hadn't been done in 25 years here in Denver. So that's, you know, I think I saw something today that said the last time the Denver Broncos were shut out in a loss, it happened to be when Home Alone was the top bank in, you know, the box office. So that's crazy. That's a long time, you know. So, you know, the sky's falling a little bit. You know, people, fans, they're looking for answers, and obviously frustration's boiled over a little bit, especially with athletes on social media and in the press. You can kind of tell, you know what, they're on edge, and rightfully so. You know, I tried having Chris Harris Jr. on, and right now he's, you know, we were kind of talking about with his publicist that, you know what, let's wait till the Broncos win a game before we talk about having him on there. So, you know, we're at that point right now here in Denver. But yeah, man, you know, it's definitely a tough matchup coming up with the Chiefs. You know, you look at the Chiefs on paper, and they don't have a lot of weaknesses. You know, they have some areas that you can attack, but overall, they're going to hurt you with their speed, their weapons, and just their consistency. You know, offensively and defensively, they're very aggressive. They have a lot of depth there now. I know they have had some injuries on the offensive line. Eric Fisher's been one of the most consistent linemen for the Chiefs. So, you know, Von Miller's going to have his hands full, as well as Shaq Barrett, and Shane Ray makes his return this game on Monday Night Football. So, you know, ideally, I think there's some positive things you can look at for the Denver Broncos, you know, heading into this matchup. But right now, the sky has fallen, and we're looking for some answers.
Well, and you talk about the sky falling, and the biggest question that you guys have, and you've already said this, is Trevor Siemian, and should he be your quarterback? Should he be benched? Here's my problem with that. Who are you going to play?
Drink.
I mean, let's be fair about it. Brock Osweiler. Yeah, drink. Thank you. Brock Osweiler is not going to be the answer, and Paxton Lynch sure didn't look like it in the preseason. So I don't know what Denver's doing, and I like what their defense has, but I think most people would admit, and I'm curious if you will, that LA really hasn't done a great job drafting.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings, much more. Geico's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with Geico, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than Geico. More power to you. Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
When it comes to refilling the talent on this roster.
Absolutely. You know, I think when you look at the offensive side of the ball, you look at Elway's draft history. Elway's had success drafting defensive players. Now, when it comes to the offensive side of the ball, I think that the Garrett Bowles pick was a very great move. And the young tackle is playing, you know, he's having a very stellar year. I'd say that outside of Matt Paradise, the center, he's having the most consistent year. Now, he's young still. He's a young rookie, old, young, whatever it may be. He's 25 years old. He's pretty old for a rookie, but he's a young guy, has the opportunity to still learn. He's going up against Von Miller every day at left tackle. He doesn't make too many mistakes, and he's aggressive, and he's going to protect his quarterback. And, you know, he's even said it, if you hit my quarterback, I'm coming after you. Now, the opposite side of the, you know, the line, that's not the case. That's not the case. It's shambles right now. You have Menelik Watson, and let me tell you, when I say this, it's so weird saying this. I never thought after last week that I would say I miss having Menelik Watson out there, because Menelik Watson has consistently been awful. You know, the Denver Broncos haven't had a true tackle since Ryan Clady, and it's been very difficult over the last couple years. But, you know, guys like Peyton Manning, when Peyton Manning didn't have Ryan Clady, Peyton Manning made up with it because he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He's smart. You know, he knew where the weaknesses were. He knew to get rid of the ball quick. Trevor Siemian's a young guy, 7th-round pick, not a lot of NFL experience yet. Had a whole year last year. Played hurt a little bit, but he still lacks a lot of decision-making things, especially with abandoning mechanics as soon as he feels pressure. Now, as you said, The Broncos don't have an option, I think, on this roster right now that they can put a quarterback. You've got Paxton Lynch, who's kind of injured still with the shoulder. I think, you know, ideally when he's ready and he's healthy, I think if Trevor Siemian continues to play, you know, the way he is, why not just throw the first round guy out there and see what he's got? Now, in preseason, we weren't that impressed with him. He regressed quite a bit, and we thought that Trevor Siemian would lose the job this year heading into training camp. But, you know, ideally Trevor Siemian came out in preseason, lit it up. Paxton Lynch didn't really impress, so Trevor Siemian won the job week two of the preseason. And then Brock Osweiler, you know, when Trevor Siemian got hurt against the New York Giants and Brock Osweiler came in against the Giants, I can tell you what, for a 7 foot guy or a 6 foot 11 guy out there in the shotgun, you know, with the offensive line that we have, he looked so stiff and it was scary seeing him out there. And I don't think he's going to have a lot of success, even if you put him out there. You know, he's a guy I think is just a project. I think the Denver Broncos quarterback option right now, he's on a roster in Minnesota, and that's Kyle Sloter. So they let him go in preseason. Well, he's a guy I think that could play right
now. We're
going
to get into this for the Denver Broncos if Trevor Siemian continues to struggle. One thing that can save Siemian a little bit and really temper what he's asked to do is running the ball. And I think they've had a good combination of CJ as well as Jamaal Charles, but it looks like Charles's touches are falling off. What's going on with him right now?
You know, the Denver Broncos have abandoned the run game the last 2 weeks, and I said it after the New York Giants game. They have three tailbacks on the roster. You have C.J. Anderson, a guy who's a big bowling ball. Now, he's had health issues over the years. You have Jamaal Charles picked up from Kansas City. He's coming off, obviously, some knee injuries. He looked good in the preseason, and so far he's looked good in any action he's gotten in the regular season, but... And they also have Devontae Booker. Against the New York Giants, they had three tailbacks, and they only ran the ball 15 times compared to throwing the ball to 50 times. That's a recipe for disaster. And then the same thing, you look at the San Diego game, or the Los Angeles Chargers game. It's crazy calling them that now. But you look at the L.A. game, and they run the ball a total of 19 total times. Now, two of those were scrambles by Trevor Siemian. Now, you can't have that. They abandoned the run game. They found themselves down early on. So I get it when you try to abandon the run a little bit. Jamaal Charles only had two carries for, I believe, 4 or 8 yards, and they stopped running it to him. They tried throwing it to him out of the backfield, and quite frankly, they just couldn't get anything going. And overall, they've abandoned the run game ever since the Dallas Cowboys game. After that game, you know, they played Buffalo. The run game was going great in the first half, and then they found themselves down after a Trevor Siemian interception, and they just stopped running the ball. And Jamaal Charles had a field day that day. You know, we saw the Jamaal Charles of old. And then against the Oakland Raiders, they abandoned it once again. So Mike McCoy's gotten into a bad habit, I think, of getting out of rhythm in terms of play calling and balancing out the offense with pass run. And I said that on the show previewing the Los Angeles game. I said they have to come out and they have to do a better job of creating an equal balance between the run and pass game, because you know what? Defenses are now daring Trevor Siemian to throw the ball. They know where he's throwing. They know that he's going to throw it to the outside. They like to run the out route to the sticks. Now you got corners playing, you know, cover two man under, safeties over the top, and corners being aggressive underneath. They can just sit there at the sticks or at a 7 to 8 yard depth and make plays, because that's all they do. That's all the Denver Broncos do on third down. So they become very predictable. There's not a lot of unpredictability right now with the Denver Broncos offense, and that's been a big issue.
You look at this Denver Broncos offense and you're talking about predictability and not being able to run the ball very well, or not running the ball very well, not running the ball enough, I guess is better, maybe the better way to put that. Do you think that that's going to change this week? Kansas City has struggled against the run, but they are without a bunch of their wide receivers right now as well, and that really hurts their offense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, Emmanuel Sanders, Isaiah McKenzie. Now, Isaiah McKenzie didn't play too much receiver. He's a punt returner, but Emmanuel Sanders being out with an ankle injury, that hurts the Denver Broncos. Because now you have Benny Fowler moving up to the two spot, and then you have Sunshine Jordan Taylor moving into the number three spot, and you kind of rotate some guys. They got Cody Latimer out with a knee injury. Right now, the Denver Broncos are kind of decimated. They brought up Hunter Sharp from the practice squad. He's all right. He played okay. He's a young guy who's still trying to get the groove. Kind of runs east to west a little bit. But right now, obviously, the concern is obviously, you know, they've struggled. You look at Kansas City's run defense, they've struggled a little bit this year. Can you get Jamal Charles rolling against his old team? Can you get CJ Anderson rolling? And obviously even Devontae Booker. Maybe even bring in Andy Yanovich inside of, you know, an I formation package, lead fullback. They haven't done a lot of that. They've been a lot out of shotgun, and it's really the inside zone, the draw. Teams are sniffing that out, especially against the New York Giants, who, you know, they weren't that great against the run, ideally, and the Denver Broncos couldn't run anywhere, and then obviously the run defense couldn't stop them that game against the Giants. So, you know, I think you got to get tight ends more involved. AJ Derby, they tried to. He fumbled the ball on the first possession, second play of the series against the Los Angeles Chargers. Fumbles the ball, Chargers get it, march down the field, just stuff like that opens it up. But, you know, you got Jeff Heuerman back. Jake Butt's supposed to be ready this week, and if not this week, next week for the Denver Broncos. He's a guy out of Michigan they drafted, had some first round, second round potential heading into the draft, but obviously tore his ACL in a bowl game, which is another conversation as well. But Virgil Green, the Denver Broncos has got to find a way to get some weapons involved and take the pressure off Trevor Siemian. Now, Trevor Siemian has to do a better job of not holding onto the ball too long. Now in the NFL, okay, they predicted, they pulled up this stat sheet that when Trevor Siemian holds the ball for 2.35 seconds, he releases the ball, he has a pretty good statistical range. Now, when he holds it any more, over 2.35 seconds, a lot of times he has one of the worst in the NFL. I believe it's 28th in the league in terms of passer efficiency. Now, at this point, I have seen, and I'm sure you guys have went back and watched film as well when you guys have watched games on the Broncos, obviously being an AFC West rival, trying to see what they got going on. You see a lot of times Trevor Siemian will hold himself into a sack. He'll run himself into a sack, you know, and things like that. Teams are starting to play more contained, and they're starting to stunt inside the middle, where they're running smoke blitzes and plugging the A gap and B gap. And so it's definitely hard for him to be able to get out there, especially with some shaky tackle play on the right side with either Donald Stevenson, Menelik Watson, as we saw Alan Barber against the Los Angeles Chargers. So those kind of dynamics kind of really hurt the Denver Broncos offense right now.
At least throughout Denver that isn't getting enough attention is that the Denver Broncos are only allowing 3 yards per rush against their defense. That's best in the league. And what's been the difference in them stopping the run this season?
Man, I tell you what, last year the Denver Broncos at nose tackle, they had Sylvester Williams, who's down in Tennessee, and Tennessee paid him some pretty big money, but he's not even on the roster now. I mean, well, he's on the roster, but he's not even on the active roster, which is crazy. Now, when you look at offseason additions, obviously Derek Wolfe's still healthy, but John Elway brought in a guy, a veteran guy out of Cincinnati, Domantas Peko, who's been an absolute anchor in the middle of that run-stopping defense. And I think his leadership and his presence out there, very similar to Marcus Ware's, but on the interior this time. And they've been phenomenal in regards to stopping the run on the inside. They've struggled a little bit on the outside, but overall their pursuit to the ball is pretty good. Now where the Denver Broncos defense struggles.
Yo, everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Go!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Teams are now figuring it out, and I think that Kansas City is going to utilize this tactic quite a bit because the New York Giants kind of exposed it. Teams right now, obviously, you have a great secondary with Chris Harris Jr., Aqib Talib, Bradley Roby, guys like that. Well, teams are kind of taking them out of the equation now, and the reason they're doing this, they're running a lot of pick routes where they're coming out and they're bringing the guy, the outside guy pretty much on a stick route, or they're bringing the number two slot receiver out, standing in front of Aqib Talib or Chris Harris Jr. at about 2.5 yards. Essentially like a pick route, a rub route, and then number one's running a one-step slant or a drag underneath, and they're finding themselves open. And so ideally, there's not a lot of, you know, pressure being generated on opposing quarterbacks, and the Denver Broncos haven't been able to force many turnovers defensively this year, despite the talent that they have for various reasons regarding, you know, like I said, the inability to get off those pick routes. Now, teams are starting to utilize more 2 tight end sets, 3 tight end sets, and we saw it with Evan Engram matching up on a guy like Todd Davis on the inside. Now, I think ideally Kansas City wants to come out in this game. They want to match up either, obviously, Kareem Hunt or, you know, Travis Kelce in a one-on-one matchup with Todd Davis Sr. Todd Davis Sr. is one of the weakest links right now in the Denver Broncos defense in terms of coverage-wise. Now, stopping the run, he's doing pretty well. But coverage-wise, teams are starting to pick on him, and that's been his bugaboo for a long time. Now, the Denver Broncos didn't struggle with this area for the first 2 weeks, especially against the Dallas Cowboys, because they went more of a nickel package, bringing in Will Parks and having only one inside linebacker, Brandon Marshall, out there. So, ideally, to answer your question about stopping the run, obviously, you got guys on the edge like Shane Ray. He's not there yet. We haven't seen him. He's going to make his return against Kansas City. I'm eager to see that, especially after having he completely blew out his hand in training camp, a ligament tear. He had to get it completely remodeled, restructured. So that was pretty interesting. And then you have Shaquille Barrett, who stepped up big time, guy out of Colorado State University, who stepped up for DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller in past occasions previously. And then you have Von Miller, who's going to draw a double team. Teams might run away from Von Miller. So it's just a lot of good pursuit on the inside, gap integrity. And I think with Domantas Peko there and Derek Wolf, they have really anchored the meaning of gap integrity and playing their gap and striking and separating. And they just continue to make plays consistently.
So how do you see this game unfolding with the issues that both teams have had? You know, you look at Kansas City and they played against two teams that were down on their luck, not playing very well. And then they come in and they get victories against Kansas City. How do you see the Broncos coming into Arrowhead on Monday night?
Man, you know, I look at the weaknesses, the areas of struggle right now that the Chiefs have. And I look at the struggles that the Broncos have. And I just tell myself, and I, you know, this isn't optimism or anything, but I tell myself, you know, right now, I'd be more worried about the Broncos' worries right now that they have going on in the Kansas City's, because, you know, ideally when we look at the Denver Broncos and the whole week approaching them, you know, the game against the New York Giants, the Giants were the most depleted team in the NFL at that point. And you're wondering, okay, based on score, the Denver Broncos should ideally get Ben McAdoo fired after this game, because they should just come out and absolutely blow out the New York Giants. Well, that didn't happen. It was the counter opposite. So right now on paper, looking at all the weapons like Tyreek Hill, Alex Smith, who's super consistent, and I think that bringing in, obviously drafting Patrick Mahomes this year, put a little pressure on Alex Smith, and I think he's responded really well in training camp, preseason, even the regular season. Alex Smith looks good this year, and he's connecting with guys. Travis Kelce is the most consistent target. I'm probably going to see Travis Kelce catch that screen again. They're probably going to utilize that matchup or that shovel pass they like to do to, you know, Kelce. Just the weapons. Overall, the weapons I think that Kansas City has is scary, especially with a guy like Kareem Hunt, who's making airwaves across the NFL radio boards, because he's a guy who kind of stepped in this year, especially after Spencer Ware, after Spencer Ware tore his PCL. That stuff is hard. Obviously, they thought Spencer Ware was going to be the workload guy, and then you bring in a guy like Kareem Hunt, who shines against the New England Patriots on opening week, and stuff like that. When you go back and you look at it, the Kansas City Chiefs have a lot of depth. They have a lot of weapons, especially defensively. Now, I know they battled some injuries on the offensive line, but at this point, the Denver Broncos can't generate pressure quick enough, especially with Alex Smith, who has a quick release and generally likes to get the ball out of his hands quick. Ideally, with a guy like Tyreek Hill trying to get open, DeAnthony Thomas, guys like that are weapons that are going to try to streak you, and they're going to, if you cover the deep parts, they're going to hit you underneath with crossing patterns with Kelce and some other speedy wide receivers out of the slot. So overall, I'm a little worried about this game, especially on a primetime Monday Night Football game. The last time these two teams played in Kansas City on primetime, it was an absolute blowout on Christmas, and then you had, obviously, Don Terry Poe throwing a touchdown late against the Denver Broncos, and I think the Denver Broncos is going to keep that in mind a little bit, but this is a huge divisional game. But you know what? Like we've seen, you know, every week across the NFL this year, No team is safe. There is no elite team that just stands out that they're going to run through everybody. There's been some surprises. Some teams that we thought weren't going to win end up coming out, competing and playing really well. Right now, I'm hoping the Denver Broncos can take cue on that very note and at least come out and compete with the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think it's
going
to be interesting.
Who ideally have owned the division the last couple of years.
Especially, I'm waiting for that piece.
And they're rising.
Does Jamal
Charles
City Chiefs
get right now
a little
rising.
Bit more action?
And the prime,
spacing
they're
his
very
old team.
To
I'm sure
stop.
There's
so
an aspect. I know when he went to Denver, there was an aspect of him wanting to make sure that he played the team. team twice a year. I think that's maybe something that can drive this team, lift them up a little bit. I still think the Chiefs are going to end up on top of the contest, but I think it's going to be more interesting than we think. Thank you for being with us today and bringing all the insight that you have into this team that has been one of those ones that Kansas City has sees as a thorn in the side for a lot of years. So we appreciate you being with us.
Well, I appreciate you guys for having me, man. I tell you what, this is a good rivalry. I remember when I was younger, you know, watching Trent Green against the Denver Broncos, you know, when I believe, man, I was in middle school when Trent Green was still around. Great matchups. You know, I love this team. You know, we've had some great matchups, obviously some tough ones, some good victories. I'll always remember week two of the NFL season 2015, Denver Broncos Super Bowl year, the Bradley Roby scoop and score on Jamal Charles late in the game to win the game. And then I'll always remember the Kansas City coming out and beating us down at home and Peyton Manning getting benched. That was definitely a tough one. So this rivalry is historic. I look forward to doing these shows with you guys. I appreciate you guys. I always,
folks,
you know,
check
tell
out
my
show, the Locked On Broncos.
That, you know,
it's right on this
intel.
Network. I think
go check
you know
out Ryan
it.
Tracy.
We'll have links and everything
Locked
else up.
Chiefs.
Thanks
you guys
for listening
do a great
to us
job.
Today.
And
we'll
obviously,
talk to
we got
tomorrow.
Some big things in store with the Locked On Podcast Network going forward. So definitely honored to be here talking football with you guys as well.